want answers?
I want the truth.
Then you want Dave Hodges.
The Common Sense Show. You can't dodge the Hodge.
Live from the Mile High City on this great Sunday evening. I want to welcome everybody to the Common Sense Show. This is your host, Dave Hodges, and joining in just a moment will be our news director, Andy DeRiso, and we have an exciting show for you this evening. I've wanted to do a show on underground bases for quite some time, and I haven't found just the right guest. Well, we found one tonight, Richard Dolan, but he's got an unexpected bonus for us because he's going to take us into the area of ufology. And no, not little green men that come and take you away in the middle of the night after you've had a six-pack of Bud Light. But we're going to take a serious look at exopolitics and ascertain, is this where some of the trillions of dollars that went down the black budget hole went in terms of perpetuating or participating in this particular endeavor? Before we go there and we join Annie, I just want to remind everybody that if you're ever away from your favorite radio station and you wish to join us live, you can always catch us at www.republicbroadcasting.org. And this is for you new listeners that don't know we're on the net. And you can always catch us on the net when you arrive at that website address by clicking on the Listen Live button. And if you can't catch us live, all of our shows are recorded in our 24/7 archives that you can obtain access to for a mere $1.33 per month. Yes, folks, that's right. You heard me. Only $1.33 per month. Absolutely fantastic rate. Anyway, having said that, let's go to Nashville, Tennessee, and join our lovely news correspondent, Miss Annie DeRiso. Hi, Annie. How are you?
Oh, Dave, I'm doing really good. It's nice to be back in Tennessee. I enjoyed my little vacation out at the UFO conference in Phoenix. Met a lot of friends there, made a lot of new friends, and also met our guest tonight, Richard Dolan. So
yes,
I was happy to make that contact.
Thanks to you being quite the social butterfly, that's why we have Richard on the show tonight. And I have always found Richard to be quite credible and intriguing. Annie, along the lines of what's going on in world events, we don't really have a new segment planned for this evening because as soon as we pull Richard up, he'll be joining us for the balance of the show. But I just wanted to put a quick shout-out to everybody that I did put a item up on News with Views, and it's entitled Betrayal, and I would invite you to go up there and read it, and it's my analysis of what's going on in the Middle East, and it dovetails nicely into our discussion in the news segment last week, in which I contend that the international bankers destabilized these currencies well in advance of these riots, knowing this would cause a spike in food prices, put people on the streets. And we got into the Muslim Brotherhood connection and what it means for the dollar as being used in the future as the reserve currency for oil. And if we ever lose that, what it will mean for us here in America with regard to our own economic situation. So I'd invite everyone to go up there at newswithviews.com, and I'm happy to say they're a proud sponsor of the Common Sense Show. And I've just got a note from our producer that Richard is ready, and so without further ado, let me just mention that Richard Dolan is probably one of the most, if not the most, respected person in the ufology movement, and as I alluded to earlier, he is an expert on how underground bases are used in regard to this, and we're going to push him on that point a little bit. Richard Dolan is considered by many to be a tremendous author as well. He has authored two premier books entitled UFOs in the National Security State and AD After Disclosure, The People's Guide to Life After Contact. Richard's writing is widely seen as ufology's gold standard, and among his main themes are the destruction of our political liberties as a result of the UFO cover-up, something that we're no stranger here to on this show with regard to loss of personal liberties, and the possible nature of the non-humans themselves. And when we come back to the break, we'll introduce Richard and we'll jump into this topic.
Are you
you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Welcome back to the Common Sense Show on this beautiful Sunday evening. And like I said, I'm up here in Denver, Colorado, not in my normal broadcasting location. I'm here taking care of some private family matters. And also joining us on our newsmaker line is our news director, Annie DeRiso. And as I alluded to before the break, we're privileged to have Richard Dolan on, Dr. Richard Dolan. And you probably have heard him many times on Coast to Coast. I've seen him many times on the History Channel, discussing underground bases and mostly ufology. So without further ado, let's go to Rochester, New York, and welcome Dr. Richard Dolan to the show. Hi, Richard. How are you?
Hi, Dave. Very well. I should let you know, as a disclaimer, I'm not a doctor.
I thought you were a PhD.
No, I'm wondering, you know, if you are combining me with my very good friend and colleague, Dr. Richard Sauder, whose book I did publish under Keyhole Publishing, and who is an expert on underground bases and tunnels. I'm very familiar with Richard's work, and we're both named Richard, so I'm wondering if at some level you had me and you may have had him in there too. Nope, no problem.
Interesting here. Okay, I guess I've got to check my sources a little better, Richard, because I'm looking here at something I pulled off from the web, and they have PhD after your name for some conference.
Oh, well, that's nice.
So, we'll give you an honorary degree here, okay? Common Sense Show, PhD in ufology and underground bases. But that notwithstanding, you're on with myself and Annie DeRiso, who I understand that you met at the UFO conference in Phoenix.
Indeed we did. Hello, Annie.
Yes. Hi, Richard. It's good to talk to you. And about the PhD thing, you've probably done more research than a lot of PhDs, so there.
I'll let people decide that, but thank you.
Well, a lot of people refer to PhDs as nothing but piled higher and deeper, so maybe it's not all that it's made out to be anyway. But one of the things that attracted me to you is I've seen some clips on the web, video clips, in which you have talked about underground bases. And
yes.
I have recently, I first heard about them some time ago, and actually through Dr. Sonner. But I've become increasingly aware of them over the past year and a half because I believe I've stumbled across some of them. I'm sure you're familiar with the goings-on at DIA.
I assume I know what you're referring to.
Yeah, Denver International Airport.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yes.
People say, so, I'm not out in Colorado, I think of Defense Intelligence Agency, but yes, over Denver.
Yes, okay. But Denver International Airport, I'm originally from the Denver area. In fact, I'm actually broadcasting from there tonight, even though I'm based in the Phoenix area. And when DIA was being built, I would encounter quite a few people who would say that their work was compartmentalized, it was highly secure, they were building deep underground, they were doing things like no other airport they would imagine would do. What do you know about what's going on at that airport?
Certainly, I have also run into a number of leaks and claims, and all that one can do at this point is collect the various leaks and stories and put them together. But we do know that construction did stop officially on that airport in the 1990s when it was being built. And from what I've learned, the explanation was a fairly lame one, that they had to do work, I think, on a conveyor system, if I'm not mistaken. In fact, it's widely believed by a lot of people who have looked into it that there was a lot of work being done deep, deep underground. I have no reason not to think this. I think there's been a number of credible people who seem to have some pretty interesting stories about what's going on down there as an alternative base, as a another kind of underground location of the seat of government in case they set up operations out west. What I think should be done, I'm not aware of a book-length piece of research being done underground under DIA, and I would love to read it.
Okay, yeah, and it's interesting. You'll see a lot in the visual media on this, but I'm not aware of anyone that's really written an exposé.
No, it needs to be done. Claims are important and they're helpful, but really an in-depth investigation by either a professional journalist or some other really qualified individual who knows how to look into these things to get some original sources out, I think would be beneficial for all of us and the stories waiting to be written.
Well, one of the reasons I'm interested in the underground base issue, and I know there'll be a corollary to this as we go into the UFO discussion later, but I've been receiving, I've been inundated exactly with information from well over 20 states, from listeners, from colleagues, people that I know personally, talking about FEMA and Homeland closing up mines and closing access to caves so spelunkers can't go in. In fact, I understand the U.S. Forest Service has even taken a position on this to ban spelunkers from going into caves. And I'm wondering if you know anything about it, and could it be to keep us from having the same protection from whatever could be coming as people in underground bases might get?
Well, all I can say is it's possible. I should emphasize, I've read a lot about underground bases, and I probably know more than the average person out there, but it's not so much my expertise that I feel like I could just speak at length about it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to misrepresent what I do. I'm very interested in the topic. I am convinced, let me just say this, as my friend Richard Sauter is convinced, and I should tell you I've had many, many, many hours of deep conversation one-on-one with Richard, so unlike probably more than most other researchers that are out there, and I've learned a lot from him, and hopefully we've learned something from each other, but there is no question in my mind that this nation and probably this world is crisscrossed with a deep and possibly labyrinthian network of tunnels and bases that go deep that are benefit to some very, very sophisticated technology, certainly possibly including maglev-type technology that allows for super high transport right beneath our feet. I think this has probably been going on for a while. Certainly the technology has been on the boards for a long time. This is something that Richard Sauter brought out, I think, beautifully in all of his books, most recently in his book Hidden in Plain Sight, which I helped to publish a little over a year ago, in which plans going back for decades through a number of scientists and engineers showing the absolute feasibility of designing these systems, and then looking at explicit plans of the United States Navy going back into the 1960s to build not just underground but undersea bases, in other words, under the sea floor, that would be permanent bases from which, well, heck, you could do almost anything you wanted, really. You could have military presence there. You could have an observation presence down there if you wanted to have a secret, unobtainable location that was utterly secure. Well, there you go. The Navy made such plans in the 1960s, and we know that they did. We have the plans published now. And so, in other words, the technology was there. The plans were there. And then there have been a variety of leaks that have occurred over the years that do describe these types of very, very deep bases under the ground. And so I think what he did in his work is, short of breaking into these places with a camcorder, he did about the best job a person could do in documenting them by indicating that it looks like it, and that's our best hypothesis at this point.
Okay,
getting,
I understand.
Getting a confirmation may be tough out of the kind of government that we have.
Well, that's true, and it makes one wonder, is this not where some of our millions, our trillions of missing dollars went that are unaccounted for?
Well, I believe so, and this is something that I've spoken about for quite a number of years, that, look, starting in the early 1990s during the Clinton administration, there was a law passed that mandated the federal government to account it for itself in, I think it was a business-like manner was the phrase. And so starting, I think, in 94, we have a series of reports coming out of congressional studies and sometimes reported in the Washington media that $1 trillion or $1.5 trillion or over $2 trillion or even $3 trillion plus are unaccounted for or missing, as it were, from federal expenditures or federal budget. Now, most famously, this was stated by Donald Rumsfeld himself in July of 2001, and then the statement was publicized on September 10th, 2001. What Rumsfeld said to the House Armed Services Committee that summer was, this is an almost direct quote, and you could search this out on the web, the entire statement's right there. He says, according to our records, we cannot account for $2.6 trillion in, I think he said, transactions. He said, if that's believable. In fact, the remarks sparked a little bit of, seemed like laughter, maybe nervous laughter, in the Congress. There you have it. He made the statement, and that was amended a few months later to $2.3 trillion, so you know it wasn't a mistake. The question is, what happens to this money? And when you consider also that that amount was about 8 times the Pentagon budget for that fiscal year. So fiscal year 01, Pentagon's budget was $310 billion. The logical question is, well, how the heck do you lose that much money? 8 times your budget. It doesn't make any sense. I've tried to understand this.
Is there an alternative revenue source?
Well, what I think part of the answer, and this is only a partial, is the Pentagon's own explanation was that these are not necessarily the same thing as missing money, although there is money that's stolen. I gladly will get back to that.
Well, let me hold that thought right there, because we're up against the break. We come back, I want to know what the explanation is, how the Pentagon can exceed their budget by that much to lose that much money. Stay tuned, everybody. More with Annie and our special guest, Richard Dolan, after these messages.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Welcome back to the Common Sense Show. Our special guest this evening is Richard Dolan, and we're talking about underground bases, black budget, where the missing Pentagon money went. And in fact, Richard, let's pick that up right there as we went into the break. We were talking about how the missing money from the Pentagon seemed to be implausible because it far outstripped any kind of annual budget that they had access to.
Well, that's right, Dave. Now, let me just say that there's no question that billions of dollars get lifted, siphoned out of our system through highly illegal means. Now, in the case of what the Pentagon expenditures were about, what the phrase that they used was unaccounted for transactions, I believe. And what that meant is, at that time in particular, the Pentagon had something like 600-plus different computerized accounting logistics and personnel systems. And the way that they described it, and I'm not saying this is entirely accurate, but was simply that it's like when you balance your checkbook, you have to reconcile the payments, and there was an enormous amount of unreconciled transactions that the Pentagon had, in part because of the proliferation of computerized systems that were there. So,
Richard, I have to tell you, I'm from an old family line, and I can smell nonsense from a mile away. This reminds me of Timothy Geithner's TurboTax explanation.
Look, I won't debate it with you. I'm not even saying that you're wrong.
The Pentagon's explanation is implausible. It's not even realistic.
Okay, well, what also is not realistic, of course, is that they would make an open statement saying that we've lost eight times our annual budget. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. I've tried wrapping my mind around that for many, many years. You know, if you're gonna siphon money out of the Pentagon and your annual budget is $310 billion, which it was in 01, then, you know, you'd have to be a complete idiot just to go out in front of Congress and say, well, I've lost eight times my annual budget. Don't worry, we're working on it. So what they're claiming is that they got that number down to much lower amounts in subsequent years. I think they said like a year later it was down like $700 billion. Gee, isn't that nice? Now, here's where it really gets funky. A number of years after that, the Pentagon announced that they got that number down to zero. Now, here's where I really have a serious problem. It's like, you know, the kid who fails every class in school every year, and then he doesn't want his mom and dad to know he's failed yet another class, so he changes his grade from an F, not to a D or a C, but to an A. That's what we call getting greedy. So they make the claim that they've resolved all of these expenditures, and I think they made this claim a couple of years ago, and that's utterly not credible. Obviously, we can see that someone gave an order from up high to get all of those discrepancies, you know, down to zero. What we know for sure, one of my good friends, Catherine Austin Fitz, who was number two at HUD under the administration of George Bush Sr., is probably one of the best black budget analysts out there. Catherine has for years been talking about the systematic theft from the U.S. federal system by a host of corrupt entities, the use of narco-trafficking dollars that is laundered through the federal system, not just federal system, but various U.S. state systems, and not just the United States, but governments around the world. What we have is a financial system that is corrupt beyond what most of us good people can truly imagine, because most good people just don't have ethics that are, well, let me put it this way. Most good people do have ethics, and they're unable to conceive of the kind of theft and greed and avarice that exists.
Absolutely, and just like Catherine Austin Fitz, we had her on the show about a year and a half ago,
and
she said she felt she had to leave HUD because she didn't want to go to prison. She was shocked
how the
greed and corruption was. She said it wasn't a one-time transaction, a one-time look the other way and steal the money. She said it was how business was done.
And one of the things she pointed out, and not just about HUD, but her opinion was about almost the entire federal government, is that it was literally not auditable, like as if God himself could not audit the U.S. government, just because it was almost designed so that one could not go through it. And obviously, there's a very good reason for that. If you've got all kinds of unvouchered monies that you want to play with, and you need to subvert elections, rig elections, kill people, covertly raise secret armies, and so forth. You need a lot of money, and to do that, you can't always have it out in the open, can you? So,
well, you could also
requirement.
You'd also use it to reverse engineer technology that might be foreign to your brand of science.
Well, in fact, this is something that I have argued now for the past 5-6 years at least. I believe this is where my research really, where I get into my research is in this whole topic of the UFO reality, the UFO cover-up, the, let us say, virtual certainty that I feel that I have, that we have in our possession, I say we loosely here, humanity has in its possession, technology that was not manufactured by human hands, and that this technology has been studied at deeply classified levels for many decades, indeed generations now. And in fact, the secrecy has gone so deep, I think it is the greatest cover-up of our time.
That's a good cliffhanger right there. We come back, we're going to find out, in your opinion, how systemic this cover-up is, and we'll see if we can't get to at least somewhat near the bottom of this story, so our listening audience can maybe understand how this might be the story of the century. Stay tuned, everybody. More on the other side of the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to AshworthTraining.com.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Welcome back. Dave and Annie here. Our special guest this evening is Richard Dolan. And just a note here, we'll open it up for your calls into the second hour, and we'll give out that number when we're ready to take calls. But let us lay the groundwork for a while first. Richard, as we were going into the break, we were talking about the possible diversion of this missing money into, let's say, the reverse engineering of various technologies that might not be our own. And you alluded to the fact that it was perhaps the greatest story in human history. So let's pick it up there and talk about what got you into this topic and where are we really at with this?
Gladly. I do think it is really, I would say it is the greatest cover-up of our time. Certainly, I think that students of the black budget and of the classified world, mainstream students, that is, have really missed the significance of the UFO phenomenon in the very creation of the black budget, of the U.S. black budget phenomenon to begin with. That is, I think the UFO phenomenon in the 1940s was key in the creation of black budgets. I will tell you, I just got into this topic about 15 or 16 years ago. I was working on a PhD at that time at the University of Rochester in Cold War studies, U.S. Diplomacy, having nothing to do with UFOs, and I became interested in the early to mid-90s. I encountered a UFO book in particular that talked about the cover-up, the worldwide conspiracy, and I was intrigued. I found a lot in it that resonated with me, and what grabbed me at that time was not even the question, were UFOs real? It was simply, are these claims of interest by high-level generals and admirals and CIA guys, was that actually part of our history? Were they interested? And if they were, And why had I never read about it in academic histories? I mean, after all, even if they were mistaken, how could that not be interesting, right? So I wanted to find out if there was something to this, and well, I quickly determined that there sure was a lot to it. And at that point, I was just hooked, absolutely hooked, and I've been so ever since. In the subsequent years, I've written a couple of volumes of history, fairly large books, volumes 1 and 2, which are called UFOs and the National Security State. I am working on volume 3, which will take the story to the present day. I also wrote a book that sort of looks at the future, AD After Disclosure, which I co-authored with Bryce Zabel. So that's a little bit about my story, and as a result of the work and the writing that I do, I'll do a lot of interviews and I'll speak at public venues around the world, I guess. And that's my life, and I enjoy it, and I expect that I'll be doing it right up until the very end. Now, I think that the UFO phenomenon is not only real in the sense that there obviously are unidentified objects, but let's get right down to brass tacks here. There are objects that are tracked by the United States military and other global militaries. They are tracked on radar. They are seen visually. There are numerous ongoing, let us say, attempts to intercept these objects. In other words, we scramble jets to chase UFOs. We did this in the 40s. We did it in the 50s and in the 60s and every decade since, right up to the present day. That is a non-deniable fact. The question comes down to who's flying these things. Well, when you look at some of these military reports, and we have enough of them to prove that this is real, what do they describe? Well, they describe things that just, frankly, are not supposed to exist. Objects that can hover, that is, loiter indefinitely, silently, and then take off instantly. Objects that can zigzag. Objects that can ascend vertically, instantly, rapidly. Ask yourself, what can do that today, much less 50 years ago when some of these reports were? And so what we have historically is a significant problem, and one that, frankly, academic historians have really dropped the ball on. They've abdicated their responsibility by failing to look into this. This is so significant for our society, our civilization, for basic national security issues, right?
So no, you're absolutely right, and I've held a number of teaching positions in various colleges, and I feel free to talk about just about anything, including even the global elite superclass,
right,
and what they're up to. And you can talk about NAFTA, CAFTA, the plan to have a one-world currency, but if you bring up the topic of UFOs seriously, you will hear about it.
No, exactly, exactly right. And the reason is that it's been a pariah topic for so many generations now that within the academic world, and I'm very familiar with this world as well, that there's no research done on it to speak of, and the widespread assumption is that if you are interested in this, that you have a screw loose. You are unstable. You can't be serious. What they don't realize is that there are a number of very, very prominent individuals within the intelligence and government-related scientific community who are deeply interested in this topic. And these are people often with multiple PhDs. I think, you know, the academic world just is so utterly out of it. I don't think most of these professors have the slightest clue. But back to the topic of the UFO reality, I mean, what has happened is there's an obvious confrontational relationship that is going on between, let's say, our militaries and these things. Now, that doesn't rule out that some of the UFO phenomenon are the result of clandestine black world projects. You know, the U.S. Trying to make their own flying saucers, so to speak.
Yeah.
But if that's the case, then someone has got to explain to me how it is that we've got 60-plus years of chasing these things, if they're part of our black budget operation. This is not credible, and it's not plausible. There's something that's very literally alien about these things. On top of that, you take into account the innumerable stories, non-military, just by civilians, who've seen these types of things, and then people who've encountered what they believe and what appear to be non-humans who are behind this phenomenon. And when you start adding all of it up, it's very, very compelling. Then on top of that, it gets deeper. There have been leak upon leak from within the classified world. I've tried to collect many of these, in particular for Volume 2 of my historical study, that that deal with the collection of and study of technology that does not that did not come from our civilization. And I do believe that these programs exist. The leaks have certainly been occurring now for a good 40-plus years solid. I've spoken to a number of individuals. A couple of them are, I would say, are famous, very high-level friends of multiple U.S. presidents and so on, who've told me explicitly that at deeply, deeply classified levels of our national security apparatus, I mean, unbelievably compartmented, that there are programs to study this type of technology and, indeed, non-human dead bodies, alien bodies, in other words.
In other words, they're telling you that we have made recoveries of live craft as well as dead bodies.
Absolutely.
And is this where, in your mind, where the reverse engineering comes in?
And not only that, right, it gets better. When you find out who's in control of these programs, you find it really isn't the government per se. It is and it isn't. I got into this topic back, you know, in the 90s thinking, well, it's a seems like a government cover-up. Well, sort of. What it really looks like has happened is that, as with so many other aspects of government, the UFO cover-up has become privatized, so to speak. After all, look at how the U.S. government and foreign policy really is run. It's run on behalf, as you have said, I think, in this very interview, on behalf of private financial interests who have gotten their hooks into the U.S. government structure for a good century or more. And really, it's no different relating to the study of acquired exotic technology. It's all done for profit. Go back, you know, 50, 60 years and pretend that you're the president and your top general says, we've got this ET technology. Now you want to study it. You don't want to let the world know you've got it. You want to figure out what makes it go. And to do that, you need ultimately to privatize the technology. Why? Because that's where the real brains are to do it. The scientists and engineers to study and hopefully replicate this are going to be in private industry among the defense contractors. And so at a certain point, what has happened, I argue, is that this technology has gone private in the sense that the possession of it is are at these places, or Lockheed or Raytheon or Boeing or General Electric and so on, and that there is military interaction with this, but who really owns it? I don't know. But what we do know is that within special access programs, that is black budget programs, the few studies that have come out on this show us very, very persuasively that they are dominated not by DOD government personnel, but by the private contractors who really call the shots. That's what it looks
like. I would
like
agree with that because as I was doing research on the underground bases, I found what I thought was a bifurcation between public government and private interests behind public government, and I saw a split. Yeah. With regard to the underground base issue, and the underground base issue kept butting up against the UFO topic.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
What you're telling me makes perfect sense when you follow the money trail.
Yeah, they dovetail very, very well. And this is what got me into the underground base issue, to be perfectly candid with you. I'd had a passing interest in it even years ago, but really nothing detailed. But I've gotten into it because it's become clear to me that it intersects very significantly with the UFO phenomenon. It's different, but it's got a lot of connection there. So this is what we're looking at. We've got we have as a society, we really need to relearn what is the true structure of power in our world. After all, think about when, you know, you're in school learning about your system of government. You vote for your member of Congress and your senators and your president, and they go to Washington and they do their work for you, and we've got our checks and balances and all of this stuff, none of which is really relevant, or at least it's not nearly as relevant as many other realities. So who really rules? What is the true structure of power in this world? Trying to understand the UFO cover-up has driven me into these types of questions, and I can't pretend that I've got it all figured out, but this is something that I continually work with. Who is running the show? What is the true structure of power in our world? It's obviously there's a significant center of power that stands behind the U.S. presidency, obviously. I've argued in my second volume of history, which covers the 1970s and 80s up to 1991, that really every U.S. president of that period, from Ford onward, without a doubt, was allowed to be president because David Rockefeller, essentially nodded his head and said, yes, he's going in.
Yes.
You've got Ford, you've got Carter, you've got Ronald Reagan and George Bush Sr. And then, of course, in subsequent years, you got Bill Clinton, same thing. George W. Bush, yes. And Barack Obama, yes again. Who's Obama's one of his key senior advisors is Zbigniew Brzezinski, who's longtime friends with and colleague of Rockefeller, co-founder of the Trilateral Commission. So that, in other words, what we have is significant financial power, locus of power behind the U.S. presidency. And when we start understanding the nature of what that power is all about, we start to get to the heart, I believe, of the UFO cover-up as well. Now, going from theory to factual evidence, that's difficult. And I'm not going to pretend that I've got all the hard evidence that I want, but I'm firmly convinced that this is the correct direction to be looking.
Well, Richard, I was wondering, do you think that the ETs have any control over our world governments?
Well, it's an excellent question, Annie. I've asked myself this a number of times, and certainly there are people who make such claims. The problem is, what is the evidence that it's based on? One thing that I can never personally escape from is my training as a historian. I have to be responsible on this. I can speculate as well as the next guy, but that doesn't mean I know any better than the next person. What I know is that there is a phenomenon and that our militaries chase it and that there appears to be a confrontational relationship. Now, there is a presence, I believe, of non-humans here on Earth. They have an interest in us. I believe, based on the evidence that I've seen, they have a strong interest in us for a lot of reasons. I'll be happy to go into all of them. As a result of that, if I were an alien, I've thought about this, and I were observing this fascinating species of humanity here on planet Earth, here at this particularly important time in their history, after all, look at what the trajectory we are on. Only 100 years ago, we were, horses pulling wooden carts, and now we're in an age where we are about to create quantum computing, strong AI, advanced nanotech. Good grief, we're reinventing our entire civilization at this moment. And so that these other beings, I assume, are very well aware of this. They've got to be interested in us. And if they're smart, they might want to manage us. I would, if I were them. I would want to make sure that this species of humanity, in another 50 years, with vastly improved capabilities for being a real pain in the neck, doesn't become a pain in the neck, and so that I would want to manage their infrastructure and power structure. If I were responsible for counterintelligence against an ET presence, I can guarantee you I would be looking for such infiltration. That doesn't mean I'd find it, but I think it's a reasonable hypothesis.
Where do you think that infiltration would take place?
Where? Well, you have to look at the standard nodes of power in our world. You'd want to look at financial nodes, World Bank, IMF, the major banks in the world, certainly. You'd want to look at the major governments, U.S., obviously. You'd want to look at the U.S. military, which is the most significant, and take it from there. The major financial and military nodes of power would be what I would want to control. And that would also include media. Now, do they? I don't know. I've created a nice, scary scenario here. I don't know if it's true. But I would say that, think about where we, humanity, are going right now. We are, we live through this every day, so it's easy for us not to appreciate just how radical our reality is. But when you go through the vast panorama of human history, it's a very, very slow process until we invent science about 300, 400 years ago. And then we start on the fast track. And then really in 150 years ago, we started extracting oil out of the ground, and we were on the super fast track. And it's just gone. It's been crazy for the last couple of decades, obviously, with computers and internet. So we're leapfrogging, somersaulting over ourselves, as it were, in such a radically advanced way that, again, those of us, all of us living through it, it's easy for us to just say, oh yeah, just another day. But it isn't just another day. And so any other being that's watching us has got to realize that we are at that moment in the history of any species in which we are literally about to reinvent ourselves. Within another century, what is humanity even going to look like? We could have such advanced AI implanted within our brains that those of us who are alive can have IQs of 500 or 1,000 or more, and we're going to be very different. And at that point, we'll be a great challenge, possibly, to them, whoever they have
to be. Formidable opponent, I agree. And, you know, one of the subjects that I have taught is sociology. So this is of particular interest to me, because one of the things that you learn very quickly is that when an inferior culture meets a superior culture, there are some bad things that happen to that inferior culture. When we come back from the break, I want you to explore that a little bit with us. More with Richard Sonner, Richard Dolan on the other side.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generations.
Common Sense Show. Dave Hodges here, also joined by our news director, Andy DeRiso. And my apologies to you, Richard. I've been a little out of sorts this week, and I don't think I'm quite back on my game yet. And so I apologize. I know we have Richard Dolan on, not Richard Sauter, and all that big reference to Richard Sauter entered in here. But I apologize to you, and I'm going to turn this over to Annie. She had a couple of questions for you here. And Annie, go ahead.
Well, Richard, everybody knows that we've got all these deep black space projects. I mean, we can talk about the moon, we can talk about Mars, we can talk about, you know, so many different aspects of that. But I think the basic bottom line of it is all of the taxpayers' money is being hidden in all these alien technologies when they're starving us to death over oil. Do you see any way that we can get over this, get through this, and get on to these technologies that would help us so much?
Well, yes. What you're talking about, Annie, is actually something I wrote at length about in my very most recent book, AD After Disclosure. There, I think, is a very strong case that one can make that we've got a secret space program. In fact, I'll be speaking at length about this in less than a month in Amsterdam for a conference on April 3rd that is called the Secret Space Program and Breakaway Civilization Conference. You know, it's been my argument that for a number of years now, there has been a breakthrough that has been made in energy utilization. I've hypothesized about the existence of something I've called a breakaway civilization. Think of it this way. Let's assume that we were all in this classified program and we were studying a piece of ET technology. And at some point we made a breakthrough in understanding that it did not require gasoline to go from point A to point B, right? But something a little bit better, whether that's hot fusion or cold fusion or zero-point energy, it's something that's not petroleum. Now, that's a secret, unlike other secrets, which you might be able to, you know, segue into private industry and make money off of. This would be a secret that you really couldn't easily send into private industry because it would take down the oil industry, which is the largest industry in the world. And your bosses would say, there is no way we're going to let you set this secret loose. It'll destroy the global economy as we understand it. Sure, people will have free energy. Sure, people might really love it, but that doesn't mean that they want us to have it. And so what would happen, though, is that this research would be conducted in secret, and the years would go by, and years would become decades, become generations, and the next thing you know, it's very possible that within the clandestine world, they've developed functional technology that can go off-world, let's say, and do a whole bunch of other things. And yet here we are now in this petroleum-dominated world, and we can all see that this petroleum-dominated world is starting to crack apart right all around us. We're seeing it. Just like a big earthquake, you know, the one that just slammed Japan, but in a more metaphorical sense, we're really having a major earthquake of our infrastructure that is going on in terms of petroleum. So what's going to happen? Well, I believe that the disclosure of an ET reality is inevitable. And
a good cliffhanger. Let's hold on. There we come back. We'll talk about the inevitability of the disclosure of ETs after we return for hour number two here on the Common Sense Show.